You are listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. You can contact us at hiv@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Instagram, hiv_hour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on a Monday and Tuesday at noon, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
So this week on the HIV Hour, we've got my good self, Sue, we've got Josh in the studio, and we've got a new presenter I'd like to introduce you to. His name's Tony, and we're really, really thrilled to have a new presenter coming onto the show. So Tony, sit in there looking fabulous.
Oh, I don't know about that. I've not got my wig and heels on, so I'm not that fabulous at the moment.
So Tony, tell us a bit about yourself. The listeners are probably dying to know, what's this Tony?
Oh my God, what is he all about? What's going on? What's happening? Okay, so I've lived down on the South Coast for about 15 years now. I've been positive for just about 20 years, just over 20 years, on a really good regime. And I'm looked after by the Judith over Anne Worthing. Just a bit about me, really. I have been in travel most of my life, and I'm still in sort of travel. I also volunteer for the sexual health teams in Worthing and in Brighton, and I do some mentoring for, it was the Famous House, then it went to Metro, so I'm working sort of volunteering for them. And I run a small nonprofit called the Worthing Hub with one of my really good friends, Dee. She is my right-hand lady, and we just provide social and support, social interaction, getting people from being so isolated, even during the COVID crisis, just getting them out, just getting them interacting with the public again. So that's what we're doing. So that's really me, really, Sue. I'm a bit of a homebody. I'm a bit of one of these things that I like watching van life things on YouTube, sailing stuff, rubbish really, but I just love travel, so yeah, that's me.
Tony, let me ask you a bit about HIV, because as you know, I'm also HIV positive. We've got Josh sitting next to us, he's also HIV positive.
Yeah.
And the majority of our listeners are sitting listening, and Tree, we've got a new presenter. Majority are living with HIV or indirectly affected by HIV. So I hope you don't mind me asking. So did you know much about HIV when you were first diagnosed?
No, you know what, in the late 90s, it was, all I knew was when I was a kid, with the Don't Die of Ignorance campaign and the tombstone falling over. And I thought, as soon as I found out I was positive, I thought that was it, my life was over. And it was only because I had a really amazing team in Essex, where I come from. They really kind of got me out of the headspace, I'm gonna die, as long as I take my meds, as long as I'm healthy, reasonably healthy, and as long as I eat properly, you know, you will be able, they didn't know sort of then roughly what they do now, but they said, as long as you keep healthy, as long as you eat the right things, as long as you take, you've got plenty of vitamins and supplements and, you know, you look after your body, then you could live a normal life. So I've done loads of research on different diets. And I mean, my back broke, stuff is just coming to 7 years now.
Wow.
And I was really unhealthy, as in I was really tiny. I was like 55 kilos, really unhealthy. So now I've obviously not 55 kilos. I'm a little bit heavier than that. But I've really honed my diet into being fresh veggies. I always eat steamed veggies. I never boil. My mum used to like cook food, but like the veg used to be boiled for about 3 hours.
So, oh yes, I remember.
Yes,
I remember, like, my mum was the same.
The green stuff and the really burnt sausages. But so I really hone in on, like, I take the right supplements. I have green, I had spirulina, I take all the nutrients first thing in the morning, and then obviously I like a little bit of caffeine once in a while. So
of course.
I have the old coffee. We all need that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think I've, over the last since my back broke, I've probably done more research into the long-term damage this has on your system. So I'm now trying to have maintenance. I mean, I don't know what a long-term survivor is, 20 years. So I'm sort of in that bracket now. So so it's just going to be maintenance now, which is cool. I'm on my meds. I take my meds every day, not missed one. So yeah.
Good. So, okay. So let's get this. So let's understand this bit more. Okay. Sure. You're HIV positive.
Yeah.
You also have a recognized other disability. Would I be okay to say that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You're a wheelchair user.
Yeah.
Wow. You do this amazing work within the community.
Okay.
I'm trying to get my breath back by, because I know you personally and I know the stuff you do. How do you manage to stay, excuse the pun, so positive?
Good pun. Okay, so I just think that, you know, there was times where I sat on my ass and thought, I shouldn't say that, but I just sat on my backside and thought, oh, you know, I don't want to do anything, put Jeremy Kyle on or whatever. And that didn't last that long because I just thought there are so many people in the West Sussex area that need help. There are so many people with spinal cord injuries that need help. And there just didn't seem anything in my area. So, like I say, I mentor for a spinal cord injury charity as well. So, and I do, obviously, the Worthing Hub. I think, okay, so I'm awake, take my meds, leave that for an hour, and then just get on with my day. It's just a case of just, pardon the expression, girding your loins and just getting on with it.
Yeah.
I think it's easy just to sit at home or have the curtains drawn and just sort of lie in bed thinking, oh, poor me. But it's get yourself out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's going to be an absolute – you're going to be an absolute attribute to the show. You know, you come from... No, I mean, hey, all the people we interview, the stories we hear about people living with HIV, everyone is so individual and different, and it's great. And it's, you know, I think we're lucky to have you on the show, and we'll look forward to, obviously, your contribution. So, so we all just want to welcome you, and I'm sure our listeners want to welcome you as well.
Thanks.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on 97.fm in the Brighton area and .com online. Tony, you've got an interesting story. I think you have.
Well, I'm jumping at the bit. Right, okay, I was looking at the Thailand. I was there last year. And there is, they've got numbers from here, from 2018. I mean, the Thai population is about 70 million, and 480,000 of them are people living with HIV, their children and adults. It was just interesting to me because they've got PrEP from 2000 and in here, I think it's 2000. This just gives me 2018. It's on advert. Okay, so the Thai population is 70 million. Estimated 480,000 people are living with HIV. 18,000 people have died of AIDS-related illnesses in 2018. That's a lot, and that's when you think that's probably the largest number of people living with HIV in the Asia or the Southeastern Asian area and Pacific. That's a lot. What do you think, Sue?
Well, yes, it is. But I'll tell you what I'm busy looking at. We've got the UniAIDS target, which is the 90-90-90. Okay. And they're not doing too bad.
Okay.
Apparently, they've got 94% living with HIV. They've got 8, that means being diagnosed. Okay, so they've gone past the 90%. They've got 8.
Really good.
Yes, it is. They've got 80% on treatment. That's obviously a little bit lower, but they've got 95% on medication and undetectable. So if you look at the UniAIDS target, they're not doing too bad, but like you said, they're a much bigger country, aren't they? You know,
yeah,
and obviously more people living with HIV. in comparison around the world. But I think it's really interesting that one of the things we do on the HRVR, we, okay, focus on the UK and around the country, but I think it's interesting to give our listeners an insight, and ourselves, actually, what is going on. Because this is a global concern. And I think, you know, especially when we talk about stigma and discrimination, we have to talk about, on occasion, global stigma
Absolutely.
And discrimination. Because, you know?
Because I think Thailand is such an easy destination for us to get to now. You know, you think of the 70s, 80s, 90s, like long-haul intercontinental travel was kind of like, you know, the higher echelons of society, do you know what I mean? The people that had the, you know, money to burn. Whereas now, like, Thailand is like 400 quid to get to or something. You get a really cheap accommodation there. I was just reading on here that 90% of all new infections are through the sex industry,
right?
Sex workers, which is kind of sad, really, because unfortunately Thailand is synonymous with like the sex tourism, isn't it? And you know, I've been to Thailand and I've never been to around that kind of area, but you know, you always get in any street corner, you know, you get hassled for it. Me being in a wheelchair last year, I think I was okay. I mean, I was with friends, so it was quite good. But, you know, I've been there before in the probably late 90s, early 2000s, and it was just really bad. You go around, like, the night market is at Patpong, and it's just there in front of you, and it's just really soul-destroying, really. You just, you know, look at those people and think, oh, God.
And like you said, looking on an economy type of level, obviously it does bring a lot of people into the country for their sex trade. And that, I think that needs to be recognised in a positive way, because, you know, it's bringing people into the country. And we, again, we're not discriminating against anyone. Everyone is free to do and what have you. So you'd think, because of the revenue they bring into the country, that they would be looked after a bit more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. Because in this country, we have the teams that go out, the outreaches, don't we? And they're always, you know, making sure the girls or lads get tested, and you know, they get their bloods tested regularly, they're given condoms and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I just find it a bit sort of disheartening that, like you say, a country that is probably the same size of population that we are, we're just under what, 65 million, so, and they're 70. And how many have we got in the UK? So how many the infections that we've got in the UK?
The people living with HIV.
Yeah,
about 103,000. 103,000.
So there, we're a quarter of what they've got.
Yes.
Literally.
But I mean, if you consider, obviously, obviously our healthcare system is better. We're very lucky, and I'm very lucky. I'm fortunate. Yeah. So our health system is a lot better. And if you look at the UK's UNAIDS target, we're nearly reaching 100% on all of those figures because of the interventions we have. So I mean, but yeah, interesting. No doubt we will be covering stories from Thailand in the future, but no, thank you for that research on that story, Tony.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
You've just tuned in. This is the HIVR at 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online. My name is Sue. We've got Josh in the studio and we've got Tony, who's just joined us today as a new presenter. Now, we talk about HIV stigma and discrimination a lot, and we need to. And we also like to, and we find it quite interesting, what stigma and discrimination towards people that are living with HIV around the world. And a story that really touched me, which was quite sad. And it's about a lady a trans woman. Her name is Alessandra Monaco. Now, she died with coronavirus symptoms after paramedics learned she was HIV positive and allegedly refused to treat her. Now, Alessandra, a 39-year-old trans woman living in Colombia's capital city, Bogotá, died last Friday. That was actually the 29th of May. After 40 minutes after emergency medical personnel left her house. Now, she lived in Santa Fe neighborhood of Bogota and was a sex worker. And after she died, it took 15 hours for an ambulance to return and take her body away. Now, the trans community in Bogota told local media that Alessandra had COVID-19 symptoms and was discriminated against for being trans and HIV positive. Now, when ambulance staff were informed that Alessandra had HIV, they withdrew. They said it was nothing serious, said Julian Salamanca of the Trans Community Network. Now, this case shows the way in which transgender people are treated in Bogota, she added. Now, Salamanca said the ambulance crew seemed alarmed and their attitude to treating her was transformed when they were told that she had HIV. It doesn't bear thinking about, does it? You know, we talk about stigma. Within all communities of people affected and living with HIV, and it's just heartbreaking. Now, apparently the Secretary of Health of Bogota said on the 31st of May that he had ordered an investigation into Alessandra's death, and quite rightly so, which he said hurts and worries us. He said he had ordered, had given an order to the investigation that includes personally listening to the requisite crews, as well as the evaluation of the documentation evidence of the event. Now, the health ministry is claiming that the woman lived with signed documents saying that she had refused healthcare, but this has been disputed by trans activists. Now, Bogota's lesbian mayor has said, apparently, the first female and gay mayor is yet to comment of her death. I really do hope there's going to be a full investigation into this, because it really needs to be done. And just following on from Alessandra's story, apparently transgender people are one of the groups most affected by HIV epidemic and are 49 times more likely to be living with HIV than the general population. Globally, it is estimated that around 19% of transgender women are living with HIV. Now, data from the Latin American and the Caribbean show that HIV prevalence is much higher among transgender women sex workers than among non-transgender male and female sex workers. There are an estimated 25 million transgender people living around the world. The term transgender refers to people whose gender identity and expression are different to social expectations of their biological sex at birth. They may see themselves as male, female, gender non-conformist, or one of the spectrums of other gender.
Transgender people have diverse sexual orientation and behaviours. Now, generally, HIV prevalence among transgender women, people who are assigned male at birth but identify as being women, is higher than transgender men, people who are assigned female at birth but identify as being men. However, very little is known about transgender men and their vulnerability to HIV. So what puts transgender people at risk of HIV? Now, if we look at the social and economic and legal exclusion across the world, transgender people experience high level of stigma and discrimination. Gender-based violence and abuse marginalise social exclusion. This makes them less likely or able to access services, damages their health and well-being, and puts them at higher risk of HIV. Now, overlapping social, culture, legal, economic factors contribute to pushing transgender people to social margins. Now, transgender people are more likely to have dropped out of education, had to move away from their family and friends, and faced workplace discrimination, limiting their educational and economical opportunities. They can encounter problems accessing basic goods and services and even public space. These challenges are exacerbated by the lack of legal recognition and their gender and the absence of anti-discrimination laws that explicitly include transgender people. Now, according to the UNAIDS 17, out of 117 reported countries had laws that criminalised transgender people.
97.2 FM. Radio Reverb. Welcome back to the HIV Hour. It's 97.2 FM. A bit of community news actually now. So I've got the lovely David Frey, who's been on the show before. How are you doing, David?
I'm very well, thank you, Josh. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's great. So you've got a new project that started, isn't it?
Yeah, not just me, but there's a group of us. And so this is actually instigated by Glenn Stevens, who's a member of staff at Brighton and Hove Library Service.
Yeah, Glenn's been on the show as well, hasn't he?
That's right, he has. And Brighton and Hove Library is very supportive of the community of people living with HIV. And for many years now, on World AIDS Day, has allowed the foyer and the community space to be used by artists to sort of show things about World AIDS Day and what it's like living with HIV. Yeah. So last year, there was a film commissioned to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the Brighton and Hove AIDS Memorial. And at the beginning of January this year, we got together and said what we're going to do for 2020.
Okay.
So we, there was a small group of us. There was myself, Malcolm, Jason, Glenn, Ian, and Francis. Francis is also a member of staff at the library. All of us, apart from Francis, are living with HIV. And we sort of started to plan for this year's World AIDS Day. And we came up with the idea of having an exhibition of people, portraits, really, looking at people living with HIV. And the idea initially was to get as many portraits as possible to create a mosaic, which would actually form the main picture of the mosaic would actually be a red ribbon, but the loop of the red ribbon would be a heart, sort of almost like a double loop. But we realized that we'd need, you know, hundreds of portraits for this to happen. And so we scaled down our ambitions a little bit, and we decided we'll just have a regular exhibition of portraits. And the idea of we want to encourage people living with HIV to be visible. And this is all about combating stigma, because we realized that, you know, one of the things that we tackle year after year on a theme of World AIDS Day, and many of our organizations and charities have to deal with, and many people living with HIV still suffer from, is HIV related stigma. And for those that, they're not quite sure what the dictionary definition of stigma is: a mark of disgrace associated with a particular circumstance, quality, or person.
Right. So, because we talk about stigma all the time on the HIV Hour, don't we? So
absolutely,
it's such a big thing.
Yeah, and we noticed. I mean, when lockdown sort of happened, when coronavirus appeared, we also realised we had to scale back our plans, and that's another reason why we're having a smaller exhibition. It'll be in the community space in the library, and we'll also have the exhibition online on our website, which I'll give you details of later.
Great.
But we noticed that when coronavirus appeared, that there was quite similar language in the media used to cover the first people that acquired coronavirus as similar to the people that first acquired HIV in the early 1980s. Yeah. I mean, the press reports in the local news on the television were talking about this super spreader of coronavirus, and that was appalling language. I mean, this chap had just come back from Italy on a plane. He was, you know, unknowingly carrying this virus, and it wasn't his fault. So we thought, you know, that stigma is still around, and it's with coronavirus, but less so with coronavirus, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Quite often on the news now, you see people who have died, unfortunately, of coronavirus, and their lives are celebrated. You don't get that so much with HIV. We do have the AIDS memorial quilt and the AIDS memorial hanky quilt, which celebrates the lives of people with HIV. But there's not often opportunities to celebrate people living with HIV, other than those who are brave enough to put their head above the parapet, like, for example, the rugby player Gareth Thomas, who was forced out by national press. And he's set up a fantastic charity called Tackle HIV. I'm sure your listeners are aware of. We were discussing the theme for this exhibition, and one of us, I can't remember who, said there's more to me than HIV. And that resonated with a lot of us. It was quite a catchy, rhythmic title. But it was also, I spent a lot of my years defining myself as a patient. You know, I had HIV before the treatment, you know, before the 1996 sort of treatment sort of deadline breakthrough. So I was diagnosed before any treatment at all. Then I was on AZT. And I spent many years, you know, backwards and forwards to doctors and thinking of myself as this diseased person. And now, since 1996, I'm so pleased and so thankful that my HIV is virally suppressed. And I can now be me again. I can start to thrive, not just survive.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not ashamed to be HIV positive, and I want to encourage other people, and we want to encourage other people to be visible in number, so we can just show the sheer diversity of people living with HIV. You know, I mean, we're bankers, we're doctors, we're nurses, we're care workers, we're parents, we're husbands and wives, you know, we're students and graduates, station producers, absolutely, you know, violinists, beekeepers. Our ask for the project is we want people to define themselves other than the fact that they're living with HIV. We refuse to be defined by it.
Yeah.
So we want people to submit three photographs. So one is of themselves, and two other photographs would be something that helps describe them. So, for example, me, I'm a beekeeper and I play the violin. And we also want people to submit three words so with which they define themselves. So for my examples is activist, violinist, and beekeeper.
Yeah.
But we give examples on our website of if people want to getting stuck with how to define themselves. But usually, you know, people can find something that relates to them. And we want to really just show the diversity and celebrate the fact that we're living.
Yeah, and that's a fantastic thing to say, isn't it? To remember and to live by, actually.
Yeah. So our website is all one word. The first part is simply more to me than HIV, and that is .life. So it's more to me than HIV.life.
Okay.
And if you wish to email us with any questions, the email address is info@moretomethanhiv.life. And we put some questions and answers on our website. Our website launched today, Thursday, 2nd of July.
Congratulations.
So I invite people to come along and have a look. You can give feedback on our website if there's something you think that we haven't quite got right with the language, or you want something explained further, please do get in touch. We have a presence on Facebook, which I just search More to Me Than HIV.
Yeah,
and
I've joined
we've
that.
Also yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yes, yes.
And we have a presence on Twitter, and we have a presence on Instagram. So our Twitter handle is at More to Me Than. Our Instagram is More to Me Than HIV, and our Facebook page is More to Me Than HIV. And if you wish to sign up to our mailing list, there's a link on our website which you can do.
That's brilliant. So you've got other projects as well going on, aren't you? The Beacon.
I have. So I'm still involved as a volunteer at the Sussex Beacon. I take part in the service user forum meetings. And those meetings are for people who use Sussex Beacon services, and we provide feedback and we discuss the services we're receiving. And the feedback's important to make sure that the services we receive meet our current needs. Our next meeting is at the end of July. I haven't got a date yet because I'm just waiting on the availability of the person that's chairing the meeting. But I can come back on the show if you'll have me in the next couple of weeks and let you know the date.
Yep.
I have an email address for the service user forum, and that is david@sussexbeacon.org.
So because of COVID, what's happening at the Beacon then? What's the restriction?
So COVID, so the Beacon did, as you were aware, it's got health management services. Yep. And it has an inpatient ward and two shops. I'm pleased to say that both of the charity shops are open and functioning with socially distancing the volunteers and the customers there. If you've managed to have a clear out during lockdown and you're itching to get rid of some things, don't take it to the dump. Save your choicest items and take them along to our charity shops in London Road and in St. James's Street. The inpatient ward is still thriving. We did allocate half of our beds on the inpatient unit to the NHS so that the NHS could put HIV-positive people on general wards into the Beacon, which freed up capacity in the main hospitals to treat people with COVID. And we did have some admissions directly from the local hospitals there.
Right.
That arrangement has now gone back to normal. So the Beacon now has a full 10-bedded inpatient unit. Our health management services, because of the nature of the quite often their group work settings, they've all gone online. So you can access the day service, mindfulness course online. You can access the Women and Family service online. And you can access the Healthy Living program, which is a program of exercises online. So you get a physiotherapist talking to you via video and helping you with your exercises. You can self-refer for all of these health management services. So please do get in touch with the Sussex Beacon. Have a look on their website. There's more details there. And in fact, the frequency of services during lockdown has increased. So the Women and Family service normally meet monthly, but now they're meeting weekly. The mindfulness service is also meeting weekly, just because people have a few more anxieties during these uncertain times.
Yeah,
so the Beacon really has stepped up to the plate, and I'm really proud to be a volunteer for them.
Yes, great. So thank you very much. Really good to talk to you. Good luck with the More to Me Than HIV.
Are you going to be putting some portraits forward, or a portrait and two photos?
I could do actually.
Fantastic. Yeah. We'd love to see you on the website. So explain things a bit further. The people who submit their portraits, we're not immediately publishing them on the website. The exhibition is designed for National HIV Testing Week, which is the last week of November. and leading up to World AIDS Day and probably the week beyond that. And then the website will close on the 1st of April. So people's portraits aren't going to be up there straight away.
Yeah.
We also, we do not ask for people's names. We do not put people's names on their portraits. So if you were to submit photos, all you would see is your pictures and your three words. There's nothing that identifies you on the website. We want people to stand together in number and just be visible as faces and people thriving.
Yes, and celebrate a celebration of being HIV as well.
And HIV has changed me. It's made me a better person. It's made me more caring. It's made me more considerate. It made me look after myself more. We're in some ways, I'm a better person for it.
That's where it starts, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Really good to talk to you. Good luck, and we'll have you back on the show maybe in a couple of weeks, and we'll talk about
fantastic. I'd love to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
This is the world of Radio Reverb.
A local story from Brighton. Coronavirus, rough sleepers in Brighton hotels to be offered HIV tests as a new initiative, and this is going to be looking at the 200 people in three hotels. They're rough sleepers. They're going to be offered a HIV test and a Hep C test. Now, the council were told to move homeless people off the street and out of communal shelters in March. So three of the hotels, the King's Hotel, the Britannia Hotel and the Brighton Hotel, have been housing Brighton's rough sleepers over the last couple of months. So the HIV charity, the Martin Fisher Foundation, said it has created a once-in-a-lifetime chance to reach out to this hard find group. Now, the charity says that around about 200 homeless people living in the three hotels, the Britannia, the King's and the Brighton hotels, would be offered a simple finger prick test and given a £5 food voucher for their time. Now, Dr. Gillian Dean, a trustee of the Martin Fisher Foundation, said that knowing where these people were living would improve chances of linking those testing positive to treatment. And outreach workers from the National Health Service, the Terence Higgins Trust and St Mungo's will go into the hotels to offer HIV and hepatitis B and hepatitis C tests during using dried blood spot sampling, which is called DBS. Now, the foundation said it was the preferred testing method and gave highly accurate results. It said that the HIV virus could now be controlled and not passed on, taking a few or one tablet a day. It's added that hepatitis C was now a completely curable with one tablet a day for up to 12 weeks. Now, Mark Tweed, the centre manager at the Brighton Terence Higgins Trust, said it's vital that during this COVID-19 pandemic, we don't forget about other viruses, and quite rightly so. Now, Dr. Jamie Vera, a consultant HIV physician at Brighton and Sussex University Hospital, said it was a unique opportunity to engage with the group that struggles to access testing. So another fantastic initiative based in our city. So well done, Brighton and Hove. I don't know whether anyone listening has already received this survey. I know I have. It's called the HIV Positive COVID-19 Survey. Now, this has been put together by the National Health Service, the Lawson Unit, and East Sussex Health Care. Now, I've actually received this survey. It's actually 50 questions. I actually done it this morning, so I'm not trying to sort of say it without knowing. I have done it myself. Now, I suppose the health service wants to get an idea how people living with HIV have coped with the COVID-19. So it's a really, really in-depth service. So if you haven't received it, you should have. If you're in Brighton and Hove, or you know you're connected to the Lawson unit, or you're from West Sussex, as I say, I'm from Worthing. I get my own healthcare to do with HIV within Worthing, and I've actually had a text message with a link to do the survey. I really would recommend doing this survey because, you know, if we need to make changes for anything future that would happen, you know, and let's put it this way, COVID-19 hasn't yet gone away. So it's a really interesting and in-depth survey, and would really recommend anyone that's living with HIV to do it. As I said, it's about 50 questions, and it took me just a few minutes to do it, and I really, really recommend it. So if you haven't received it, you can, you know, look on, you can Google, you know, HIV and COVID-19 survey within Brighton and Hove and East Sussex Healthcare, and you probably get connected to it.
So thank you, Sue. There's a bit more community news. This is from Tim Holt, who's the social care coordinator at the Terence Higgins Trust. There's an exciting opportunity you might be interested in. They're looking for people with HIV in the Brighton and Hove area and across East and West Sussex who want to work with the Terence Higgins Trust to shape one of their support services. So the existing service from THT in Brighton aims to empower and support people living with HIV to overcome a wide variety of social care issues such as food, fuel or financial poverty, housing issues or loneliness and isolation. The service also seeks to ensure that people living with HIV get the additional support they need to manage their health and well-being when faced with challenging circumstances, and are keen to hear from people whether they have used their services before or not. So they're going to have a Zoom meeting on Tuesday the 21st of July from 11 a.m. to 12:30. You can join the Zoom in whichever way you feel comfortable, with video or without. So if you want to get involved, you can email Tim, project leader. So that's tim.holt@tht.org.uk, and you can register your interest with him. There's also a link for people to register their interest who want to get involved in the project. The link is www.tht.org.uk/survey-forms/enter-your-details. I'll say that again, www.tht.org.uk/survey-forms/enter-your-details. So that's it for this week. Great show. Lots of love from us all. Stay safe.